Now, as we continue with our studies in the book Genesis, today our lesson will be taken from chapter 15. The book of Genesis, chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. It's a wonderful chapter. Here is the chapter that sets before us something concerning trustful surrender to the will of God, setting forth a basic element in true religion. You find that in verse 6. In fact, verse 6 is a kind of key verse to the whole chapter, which says, And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now you'll notice the chapter begins with these words, After these things. The question arises, what things? The answer is simple, all that had gone before, but with special reference to the things of chapter 14. Abraham's faith had been fully awakened, but now it had to be disciplined. And how this was done is recorded in the next 7 chapters, the subject of which is God's covenant with the patriarch. Now, after these things, here we have the problems that Abram faced in the world. But when you come to verse 6, there is the principle of acceptance with God. Then, when you come through verses 7 and down through a number of other verses, you have the prospects that Abraham received regarding the promised land. And then from verses 13 through 16, you have the promises received regarding the promised seed. Now look at the problems that Abraham faced in the world. Remembering this, the pathway of faith is not a smooth and uneventful journey, but it can often lead into winding trails and difficult problems where the going can be rough. Now this kind of teaching today that tells people that all they need to do is commit themselves to God and everything will be easy and all their problems will be solved and they'll have no difficulties, that, my friend, is not according to the teaching of the Word of God. Let me remind you that some of God's greatest saints on this earth, some of the greatest men and women who ever lived for God, were people who had to face great and difficult problems. But as I have said before, I'd rather face a problem with God as my helper than face a problem without Him. Now, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you're going to have problems in life. Here are some of the problems that Abraham had to face. First, there was the problem of safety. Would the surrounding nations attack him? If so, God said, "I am thy shield." In plain words, God gave him the promise of protection. You see, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham." Well, was Abraham caught with fear? God says, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." If God was to be his shield, that means he would protect him. After all, hadn't he gone after those kings who had taken his nephew as a captive? He had defeated them. He had rescued his nephew. And like a spiritual man, he had restored the one who had fallen by the way. Now, would he have to live the rest of his life in fear of these surrounding nations, who perhaps would marshal their forces and come after him, seeking to destroy him? If so, he would need someone to protect him. God says, "I am thy shield." So he has the promise of protection. Then he had another problem. Abram faced the problem of supply. You see, when the king of Sodom offered to give him some goods, he refused them. He told the king of Sodom that he wouldn't even take a piece of string from him to tie his shoe on, in case the king of Sodom said that he would make Abraham rich. So he refused the goods. Now God said, "I am thy exceeding great reward." Now if God was going to be his exceeding great reward, you could rest assured here was the promise of provision. So if he could trust God for protection from his enemies, then he could trust God to provide for him all the days of his life. But he had another problem. It was his outstanding problem. He had no family. Abram was now 85 years of age. He had no seed. That is, he had no son to carry on his name, no son to come heir to the promises that God had made to him. So if he had no son, how could God's promises be kept to him? And he began to think to himself, "Well, surely it's going to fall to Eliezer, my servant." But God said, "No, that's not going to be." But he said, "You will have an heir, and he'll come forth from thine own bowels. He'll be thine heir, and he'll be thy son." Now this was a difficulty for Abraham at his age. And God takes him out and asks him to look upwards. Look at the stars. Could you possibly number the stars? Well, that was an impossible task. God said, "Just as the stars are numberless so far as you are concerned, then I can assure you so will be your posterity. They will be as numberless as the stars in the heavens." So Abraham now is given the promises from God. There's the promise of protection. There's the promise of provision. There's the promise of a posterity. Now with these promises from God, that brings you to verse 6. A wonderful verse. Notice there are three words in this verse that are worth taking note of, worth studying. There is the word believed. There is the word counted. And there is the word righteousness. Notice how they are used in this verse. Speaking now of Abram, and he believed in the Lord. Number one. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, it's a strange thing. These words are emphasized in three New Testament passages. You'll find them quoted in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. And there in that verse, the emphasis is on the word counted. Then in Galatians 3:6, you'll find it again, but there the emphasis is on the word believed. And then for the third time, you'll find it in the Epistle of James, chapter 2, verse 23, and the emphasis there is on the word righteousness. You see, in Romans chapter 3, where this thought is introduced, it is said, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" That's the start of an argument away back in chapter 3. Now, coming from there into chapter 4, he says, "For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God." So there are some people who live their lives in unbelief. But Abraham is a classic example of those who believed. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Let me get it this way. In this particular passage in Romans, he is dealing, of course, with righteousness. But how can righteousness be reckoned to or counted to the believer? Well, now he uses this as the classic example. It was counted unto Abraham when he believed God. Now, when you go to the Epistle to the Galatians and chapter 3, you have a different setting. He's dealing with another truth, and he raises this issue again with regards to Abraham. And here is what we find. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." You see, the great error with those in Galatia was this. They were mixing faith with works. And so therefore they were trying, as it were, to teach a little bit of faith and a little bit of works, and that would bring you right with God. And the apostle writes this epistle to show to them it must be all of faith. And so therefore he uses the word believed, and he emphasizes it here, and he tells us straight that Abraham believed God. He didn't work for his justification. He didn't work in order to be accepted with God. He believed what God said. He placed implicit faith in the word of the living God, and he believed God, and therefore it was reckoned to him for righteousness. But of course, when you come to the Epistle of James, James is a very, very practical writer. He deals with practical Christianity. And James, in dealing with those practical things, in chapter 2 and verse 23, he says, "And the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed," that is, it was reckoned, "it was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." And so James wants us to have righteousness in the life, and so he emphasizes the righteousness that was reckoned to Abraham. Here is the introduction, as it were, in Genesis chapter 15 of the important scriptural principle concerning the manner of being accepted with God on the basis of righteousness. How is a man accepted with God? Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. He listened to the word of the Lord and he obeyed. And then when God told him that he would give him his protection, he would give him his provision, and he would give him a posterity, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But now, what about the prospects Abraham received regarding the promised land? This was not only interesting to Abraham, and Abraham's descendants all over the years, it's interesting to them now, and it is interesting to us. Now notice, there is the statement of a divine purpose in verse 7. And God said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. Now remember where Abraham was when this was said to him. He was in that strip of territory that today you call the state of Israel, the land of Canaan. Now remember back in Genesis chapter 15, God says, I brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now notice, God didn't say when he would give it to him. He just simply said he was going to give it to him. But now if you look at verses 9, 10 and 11, you'll notice there is a sacrifice associated with a covenant. It was God's order concerning the sacrifice in verse 9. He told them exactly what the sacrifice would be, and Abram simply had to do what God told him. So in verse 10, there is Abram's obedience in sacrificing. But in verse 11, you have the enemy's opposition to the sacrifices, because the fowls came down upon the carcasses and Abram drove them away. If you follow through in the Bible, you'll discover that the fowls of the air that coming down to devour, these must have been the vultures. They are indicative of the enemies of God's people and the enemies of God's word, because when you come to the New Testament and the Lord tells the parable of the sower with the seed, it was the fowls of the air that came down to snatch away the good seed. And so therefore, here we have the enemy coming down on the sacrifices. Then you have the specific boundaries of the land in verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Now notice this very carefully what it says here. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now at no time in the history of the nation of Israel have they ever occupied all that territory. Even today they have a little strip of territory in the Middle East, but it's nothing comparable to the area that is set forth in verse 18 of chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. But I'd like to say this to all my listeners. The day will come when God will keep that promise, and when this nation is brought back into a true relationship with their God, when they repent of their sin, and when they acknowledge their Messiah, and the kingdom will be set up again, and he shall sit on the throne of his father David and reign over the house of Jacob, then that nation shall occupy the territory with its specific boundaries laid down here in this verse, and he'll give them that territory from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So we have the prospects that Abraham received regarding the promised land. But now verses 13 through 16, the promises received regarding his promised seed. Now Abraham's seed would be strangers in a strange land. Verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That already, as you know, has been fulfilled. That promise or prophecy was fulfilled. For the day came, as we shall see as we continue with our studies in the book of Genesis, the day arrives when Abraham's descendants go down to the land of Egypt. But I'd like to make it perfectly clear that here in Genesis 15, we are not told where that land is. It simply says, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. The time came when they went down to the land of Egypt, and there they became servants to strange masters, and the strange masters called them to suffer in strange ways. They afflicted them 400 years. But verse 14 says, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. That prophecy also has been fulfilled, For the day came when God judged Egypt, and Pharaoh and his host were overthrown at the Red Sea. And he brought the children of Israel out, and he brought them out with great substance. They brought out gold and silver and material. They came out with great substance when they left the land of Egypt. But now, therefore, if they would be strangers in a strange land, and they would be servants or slaves to strange masters, and they would have to suffer in strange ways, they would be saved by supernatural power. I will bring them out. I will judge the nation that afflicted them. And then he tells Abraham something regarding his own end. But now they would ultimately be settled in the promised land. God didn't bring the children of Israel out of Egypt to leave them in the wilderness. God had something prepared for them, and he would settle them in the promised land, so that in bringing Abraham's seed out of the land of bondage, God would judge their enemies for the suffering they had caused them to endure. And might I add here, that principle has never changed. God will still bring judgment upon any nation that causes suffering to the Jews. You and I have seen that even in recent years. God will judge them. But you've been very, very careful how you treat God's people. But now, in bringing them into the promised land, God would judge the inhabitants of that land because their iniquity was full and ready to be judged. You see, he tells Abraham here, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It has always been a great argument of those who oppose the word of God to raise opposition and argument against the fact that the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan and destroyed, or were told to destroy, the inhabitants. Let me remind you that God destroyed the inhabitants of this earth in the days of Noah. He destroyed the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah when he overthrew those cities. And God destroyed the people of the land, or the children of Israel were told to go in and destroy them. It was because the iniquity of the Amorite by that time was full. They had sinned against God. They had gone so far into sin, the only thing now was the hand of judgment upon them. So therefore, God would judge that nation. Do you realize that the day will come again when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the Mount of Olives, and his feet shall stand on that mountain? You want to check this up, read in Zechariah 14. When he comes again, it will be to deliver the remnant of the nation of Israel. And at that time, he will bring judgment upon their enemies. You know, when Abraham looked outward, all was night. But when Abraham looked upward, all was bright. And when Abraham looked onward, all was right. My friend, in what direction are you looking? Are you looking outward today, and everything is as black as midnight? It's dark all around us. But why don't you look upward like Abraham, and all will be bright? Look onward like Abraham, and you discover this, that God has everything under control. The day will come when God will manifest to a wondering universe that his plan has worked. He will manifest his beloved Son in all his wondrous glory. Every knee shall bow to him, every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Remember, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.